Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Penny Nelson. California voters are continuing to back Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. A new poll from the California Public Policy Institute finds Clinton leads Republican nominee Donald Trump 47% to 31% among likely voters. PPIC pollster Mark Baldessari says there's a tremendous amount of interest in the race, even though most voters have settled on a candidate.
61% in our latest poll saying they're very closely following the news. That's higher than we've seen all year, and it's much higher than we've seen in previous election cycles at the same time.
The PPIC survey also found Attorney General Kamala Harris leading Orange County Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez in the U.S. Senate race. However, 24% of likely voters say they will not vote for either of the two Democrats. Nestle can continue to pump water out of springs in San Bernardino National Forest for bottling purposes. A federal judge ruled against environmentalists who sued the U.S. Forest Service last year in the midst of the drought crisis, claiming the agency was letting Nestle pipe water out of forest land on an expired permit. The suit claimed Nestle's piping of water, nearly 100,000 gallons a day, from Forest Springs was drying up the area's ecosystem and killing off flora and fauna. The U.S. District Judge has ruled that Nestle's permit is still valid. There may be a toxic chemical coming out of tap water in some parts of California. That's according to a new environmental report. Lindsay Hoshaw from KQED Science has the details.
A heavy metal called hexavalent chromium, or chrome 6, exceeds the legal limit for drinking water in 11 California communities. Most of those communities are in the Central Valley, Southern California, or near Sacramento. The legal limit for chrome 6 in drinking water is 10 parts per billion, which is about 10 drops in an Olympic-sized swimming pool. Los Banos had more than 3 times that amount. Some hardware stores may carry filters that can remove the pollutant. Chrome 6 comes from industrial sources, but also occurs naturally. For the California Report, I'm Lindsay Hoshaw.
In November, voters in California and 3 other states will decide on whether to raise their tobacco tax. California currently has one of the lowest cigarette taxes in the country at 87 cents per pack. If voters pass Proposition 56, the tax would go up to $2.80 a pack. The money would fund health care for the poor and cessation programs. We asked the California Report's health reporter, April Domboski, to find out, do tobacco taxes work?
Thank you for calling the New York State Smokers Quit Line.
New York has the highest cigarette tax in the country, $4.35 per pack. Each time it went up, calls to the state quit line spiked.
Quitting smoking can also save a lot of money in the long run.
In New York City, Mayor Michael Bloomberg raised the tax even more.
Oh, I was so angry with him. I could hardly afford it.
Elizabeth Lane was paying $12 a pack.
Afford, I had to beg, borrow, and steal to get money to buy cigarettes.
At first, Lane managed to cut down from 7 packs a week to 4. But sometimes she still didn't have money to buy toilet paper.
I asked my daughter, you got $50? What for? I need the cigarettes.
Finally, the price tag, her doctor's warnings, her daughter's guilt trips, it all came together. She quit. Studies show that for every 10% increase in the price of cigarettes, smoking goes down 4%.
Part of that is people quitting.
Stanton Glantz is a professor of medicine at UCSF.
Part of that is people cutting down.
California already has the second lowest smoking rate in the country, after Utah. Glantz says most people here who do smoke don't smoke that much.
It may be the price increase that'll probably follow Prop 56 will be enough to just get these light and intermittent smokers to just say, you know, forget it.
Glantz's colleague, behavioral economist Justin White, says most smokers wish they could quit, but addiction is a powerful force.
There's this universal tendency towards immediate gratification.
The craving for a cigarette right now easily overwhelms fears of heart disease or lung cancer in the future. But White says a cigarette tax can flip that.
Increasing taxes is a way to really bring that back into equilibrium, the cost in the future versus the benefits now.
Opponents of the tax aren't interested in the psychology behind it.
Personally, I'm opposed to every manner of taxing.
That's Stephen Greenhut from the R Street Institute, a libertarian think tank that promotes limited government.
But people make their own choices.
He doesn't like that Prop 56 would tax e-cigarettes, too.
Vaping is not entirely safe.
True.
But I think it's pretty clear that vaping is far less harmful than smoking.
Okay, the science is still out on that. Early studies do show that e-cigarettes pose fewer health risks. But to what degree is unsettled? Either way, Greenhut says it's premature to tax them.
If you're going to try to get people to stop smoking, why would you hammer a product that is arguably used to reduce smoking?
The science on this question is even more uncertain. Some studies show teens who vape are more likely to smoke cigarettes, while some British studies have found that e-cigarettes can help people quit. No e-cigarette company has filed an application with the FDA to be a cessation device. If they did, they would be exempt from the Prop 56 tax, as is the case with nicotine gum and patches. In New York, for Elizabeth Lane, the patch was her ticket to quitting.
I don't... when I'm walking.
She's feeling better and saving money.
You know, instead of being all on the receiving end all the time, you know, give me, give me, give me, I can give now.
She says she can now buy presents for her daughter and granddaughter. For the California Report, I'm April Domboski.
Thanks to Fred Mogul at WNYC for that tape of Elizabeth Lane. And that's the California Report for Thursday, September 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Penny Nelson. This is the California Report.